necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. I don't know what that was at the beginning of the show. It was last Friday's show started airing. We have ghosts in our computer system, no doubt about it. We've got a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we'll be talking to Dr. Per Tesh from the Karolinska Institute about the effects of aerobic training and resistance training and whether or not that impairs your ability to gain more muscle affects it in any positive way. During the second hour, Brian McKenzie will be on talking about CrossFit endurance, using the CrossFit model to increase endurance in athletes. Before we get started, a couple announcements I have to make. Those of you who have had not taken it, the opportunity to get your free 15-ounce jar of Titan Raw Organic Coconut Oil, there are a few jars still left. By the time you hear this podcast, perhaps they will still be there. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Titan banner ad to get a free 15-ounce jar of the best raw organic coconut oil that money can buy at TitanOrganics.com. Check that out. Also, I've received several emails about the study that's being publicized in the mainstream media that just came out of the University of Minnesota related to teen athletes using protein powders and quote-unquote steroids to bulk up. And if you want to hear my opinion of this study, you can sign up for our newsletter at superhumanradio.com because the newsletter comes out every Tuesday and I will have an opinion piece in there talking about this recent research. Okay. Dr. Per Tesh is with the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, Sweden. How are you doing, Dr. Tesh?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. We're going to talk about your study that was recently published, actually end of last month. Aerobic exercise does not compromise muscle hypertrophy response to short-term resistance training. What was the purpose of looking at this study? Hasn't this discussion happened so many times now that we think we know the answer already?
The discussion has been going on for years, Carl. Our interest, my background is in sports, but also my last 25 years I've been dedicated to research with NASA, how ass snouts can potentially combat muscle loss in space. And that's where our study, our research sort of begins.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that for a second. In zero gravity, muscle loss occurs, obviously because of the lack of resistance into the things that we do. We don't realize that the friction of bearing our own bodies increases both bone mineral uptake and muscle density and cross-section, doesn't it?
Correct, Carl. Without gravity, all the weight-bearing muscles are subjected to atrophy, and the calves, most of all, the thigh, adductors, but essentially the weight-bearing limbs, over, let's say, month space flight, the calf and the quadriceps muscle probably decreased by 10%.
That's pretty impressive.
Substantial. It is. So you can imagine, even if this is not a linear response, but after half a year of the International Space Station, the atrophy is rather substantial, may amount to 30-40% for the calf. So, when I was introduced to this whole issue about 25 years ago, we started to think about how we can combat this in space. And first of all, myself being advocate for resistance exercise, and my reasons being focused on that for years. We were simply trying to simulate weightlifting in space, which isn't that easy.
Yeah, because if there's no gravity, a 45-pound plate doesn't weigh 45 pounds, does it?
Correct.
So
even 100-kilo barbell will be zero.
Yeah, I mean, in space, I can deadlift a ton. So
yeah, you're right, Carl. Yeah. So what we came up with was essentially, and we got a patent for this about 25 years ago, a reversed toys yo-yo. So you fix the yo-yo. It's a little bit larger, got larger wheels, not much. And once you pull that string to that yo-yo, you're getting resistance. And of course, the larger the wheel, the more mass of a wheel, the more inertia and the more resistance. And the beauty is that similar to barbell and dumbbell, there is no friction. So when you pull that string, the yo-yo is fixed. You pull that string, once the string is unwound, it will rewind, and that way you get the concentric phase and you get the eccentric phase.
Wow.
Without any friction.
Very cool. Very cool. This technology is what you used in this research, where you looked at the difference between aerobic plus resistance exercise or resistance exercise alone. Now, I have to ask you a question for my own edification, because when I read the research, the first thing that jumped out at me was that you used the opposing limbs on the same person, correct?
Yes.
But isn't there a phenomenon known in science called cross-education? That we know that if one leg is restricted from movement and the other leg is allowed to exercise, that there is some transference to both muscle cross-section area as well as functionality to the non-working leg.
Yeah, that's correct. In terms of neural adaptations, and this is a finding known for more than 50, 60 years, that if you have, for example, one leg in a cast, you train that leg that's not in cast, the casted leg will actually benefit neurally from training your non-casted leg. So you're right. So what we did, well, the cross-training effect is mainly related to resistance training, not
okay.
so much, if ever, aerobic exercise.
And okay.
Since you read our report, you noticed that our protocol was aerobic training in the morning for one leg and nothing for the other leg.
Right.
And then in the afternoon, we did resistance exercise for unilateral resistance exercise for either leg. So our question was, if you do aerobic training in the morning, does that impact your potential resistance, your desired resistance training effects?
Okay. So let's talk about the design of the study for a second before we go into this break. How was the study designed specifically? How many participants? What were they required to do at what times of the day?
Okay, we had 10 college students. They showed up in the morning. They did 45 minutes of exhausted one-legged cycle ergometry exercise. Now they had a break. They had lunch. They came back in the afternoon, did four sets of seven maximum concentric eccentric knee extensions using this flywheel yo-yo technology.
Right.
That's a decent workout, and of course, you can do more, but this is what we feel is necessary to build muscle, or actually we showed this technology before, that 5 weeks, four sets of seven reps every third day will build as much muscle as you can expect from any weight training device in the gym.
Right.
So that's the protocol we applied. This is aerobic exercise every Thursday. They did the resistance exercise. On most days, they did aerobic exercise.
Okay.
So we believe this is pretty much what athletes do. They work out in the morning,
right,
either aerobic or resistance. They come back in the afternoon after recovering and do the other exercise regimen.
Yeah, because basically you're modeling this after the what's known as a two-a-day, which most real athletes will train twice a day, but they'll separate the disciplines into different times of day. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Tesh and find out what exactly was learned when comparing both resistance exercise and aerobic exercise trained athletes versus resistance exercise alone. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in Whey Natural USA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WheyNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WheyNaturalUSA.com. Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous, and this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gage Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage. And it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Titan Organics is a direct importer of the finest organic virgin coconut oil from pristine Philippines farmland. Their raw, organic, and kosher centrifuged coconut oil is the finest available in the world. They're so confident that you've never experienced a finer coconut oil that the first 100 Superhuman Radio listeners get a free 15-ounce jar. If you love coconut oil for cooking, skin, and hair care, or if you eat it out of the jar like Carl does, you're going to be absolutely blown away. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Titan Organics banner ad to get your free jar today. Buy one, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today while supplies last.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. The Superhuman Radio Studio is a standing friendly workplace. And if I sound out of breath, it's because I was doing body weight squats during the commercial break. If you're listening to me at work, stand up, wave to a coworker, get out of your chair. You'll live longer. Just a reminder, check my blog later today for an amazing recipe on homemade chocolate that's actually good for you. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Pertesch from the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, Sweden. Okay, so Dr. Tesch, what did you discover when you looked at these two different legs of these individuals?
First, we believed that the early aerobic training would, in fact, compromise the response to resistance training. If anything, it seemed that the effect of resistance training was boosted by the aerobic exercise performed in the morning. What we did was we took muscle biopsies from the vastus lateralis,
right,
determined fiber cross-section.
And for people who are not familiar, this is the largest quadricep muscle on the right side, the outside front outside of the leg, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
The vastus lateralis pretty much reflect or mirror what's going on in the entire quadriceps femoris, at least for the three vasti muscles that you mentioned. So we took muscle biopsies. We measured cross-section area of fibers. We did enzymes. Those systems that catalyze different metabolic reactions, mainly mitochondrial enzymes.
Okay.
And we also looked at gene expression of markers that are
downregulators of muscle, like myostatin, which is a governor of muscle, was one of the things you looked at, right?
Yes, myostatin is a key player, and clearly myostatin was, as shown in other studies, for example, myostatin is downregulated with training and upregulated with
cardio,
unloading, for example.
Okay.
Or space flight.
Okay.
So in terms of the genes, we didn't see much of a difference between the two different exercise modes, but most striking, what we found was an greater increase in muscle size with a combined exercise approach. So even though we had a pretty impressive increase in muscle size with resistance exercise only, about 8%, the increase was even greater with a combined exercise.
Now, do you think that this effect was purely on the muscles directly doing the work? For instance, is this a systemic change, you think? If someone were to do aerobic training, which is predominated by lower body movements like running or biking and so on, but then do heavy resistance training with the rest of the body, including the upper body, do you think that the upper body would respond with this increase muscle size response, or just the legs, because they were the ones doing both of the tasks?
Yeah. Good question. We don't believe this is a systemic effect. This is totally muscle related.
Yeah. So theoretically, if you want this to translate to the whole body, then you have to do aerobic activities that would include the whole body, like upper body ergometer, for instance, along with bicycling, and then a total resistance training, upper body, lower body type training, right?
You're right. If this holds true, you're right. If you want to increase your biceps potentiate increase by adding aerobic, you need to do like aerobic biceps exercise.
Right. Now, and then obviously for those of you listening out there who have a lagging body part, find a way to do aerobic exercise with that lagging body part, whether it be seated rows on a rowing machine if your back is the problem. So training your aerobic capacity, doing rowing for 30 minutes at a time, and then coming back later in the day and doing your resistance training, your heavy barbell rowing and so on, should elicit a similar response. Am I off base on that, Dr. Tesh?
No, you're not.
Okay.
If our data holds true, you're perfectly right.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit about mitochondria. Was there any evidence of an increased biogenesis or size or anything? Did we see any markers that would tell us we're influencing mitochondria biogenesis and function?
Yes, we got a major increase in the activity of citrate synthase, which is a good marker for mitochondrial function. So that was essentially produced or entirely produced by the aerobic exercise performed in the morning.
Really?
Yeah, we don't see much of an increase with resistance exercise only. It may be true for older people that you can get some benefit from resistance exercise only in terms of mitochondrial function. For trained people, very, very modest, if any.
Okay, so does mitochondria size, functionality, biogenesis in general play a role in the development of strength in the instance of resistance exercise? Is there a contribution by the mitochondria that would say to someone, well, you paying attention to your aerobic training is critical because it does elicit greater strength?
No, not directly. But of course, if you can enhance your mitochondrial function and improve endurance, that may have an impact at the end of the day when you're trying to squeeze out as much as you can from your resistance exercise workout, adding another or a few more reps. That may be the benefit.
Kind of like creatine, monohydrate.
yeah, you're right. Natural creatine.
Okay. So what other things did you notice about the individuals that were both aerobically and anaerobically, for lack of better terms, trained, resistance and aerobic trained?
Well, overall muscle size was greater. Again, our approach, like I said, it all evolved from our interest in space.
Right.
Because, you know, the astronauts, they're busy with so many things. You need to come up with the most effective exercise paradigm for astronauts to save time. They don't have time to, you know, go like 2 hours on a cyclogometer to, you know, to stay fit. And then on top of that, perform resistance training every, you know, Saturday
right.
or something.
Right.
They need to be highly effective. But at the same time, when we implement the exercise regimen, we need to know that they don't, you know, the aerobic exercise will not interfere with the outcome of the resistance exercise, which may be the most, the primary exercise to implement in space to combat muscle loss.
Well, you know, this is an interesting thought. In early space travel, I have to believe the materials used to produce spacesuits and the designs not being as keenly ergonomic, for instance, would make me think that those suits were cumbersome and restrictive compared to the technology and the materials we use today. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yeah, that'd be a fair assumption.
Okay, so then that would also possibly influence the amount of muscle loss to the older astronauts than to the newer ones who are taking advantage of the new technology. Because if those suits were more cumbersome and more resistant, then just doing menial tasks would take a lot more energy to bend the elbow and straighten the arm than some of these newer technologies. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, that could be a fair statement. If you take the Russians, Russian cosmonauts, for example, they have suits with built-in, you know, rubber band about the joints, such that everything they're doing will be against resistance, which is sort of old tech, but pretty smart solution.
Well, that goes my idea. I thought I was going to make $1 million. I was going to say to you, why not put pneumatic tubes or hydraulic tubes in the joints and the elbows so that they can increase the resistance when they have to do little tasks? They'll end up becoming home more muscular than when they went to the moon.
No, you're right. But I guess, Carl, you're lifting weights, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I know. Well, we never met, but that's what I assumed.
Okay.
So what I'm trying to say, you know, you as a weightlifter, you know that for the ultimate workout, you need to go hard.
Yes, intensity plays a large role in all of these responses.
Yeah, so that's what we're thinking about, you know, with the flywheel technology we're using. Yeah. As an example, we had subjects staying in bed for 90 days to simulate space flight. And they did the squats using our flywheel machine every third day. In total, the total contractile activity over 90 days, 3 months, was less than 30 minutes, and they maintained muscle size.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
That's impressive. That is impressive. We have to take our next commercial break. When we come back, I want to explore this notion. One of the lines in the abstract says, while the response was not carried over to greater improvement in muscle function, it remains that intense aerobic exercise can be executed prior to resistance without compromising performance of the outcome. I'm just curious about the notion that there was not improved performance in the muscle. I want to explore that a little bit further. We're talking with Dr. Pertesch from the University of, Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, Sweden. We're going to also, as a result of this, hopefully come up with a prescription, if you will, that will allow you to better harness your aerobic training so that it results in greater muscle gains for those of us out there looking for more aesthetics. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Has an anti-estrogen been so powerful? The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called piezole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Piezole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top selling products: Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultra Male RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. If you want to build muscle and burn fat, if you want to transform your body, your health, and fitness, then your goal should be to get a copy of The Blueprint from Rob Ragish. Learn what the Blueprint Army already knows. There is no faster way to change the way you look and feel than by using The Blueprint. And now, when you order The Blueprint, you will also get absolutely free the Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms in a Single Workout Seminar. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Blueprint banner ad today. By buy one, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented, powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today while supplies last. Titan Organics is a direct importer of the finest organic virgin coconut oil from pristine Philippines farmland. Their raw, organic, and kosher centrifuged coconut oil is the finest available in the world. They're so confident that you've never experienced a finer coconut oil that the first 100 Superhuman Radio listeners get a free 15-ounce jar. If you love coconut oil for cooking, skin, and hair care, or if you eat it out of the jar like Carl does, you're going to be absolutely blown away. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Titan Organics banner ad to get your free jar today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, Brian McKenzie of CrossFit talks about CrossFit endurance. Really intriguing discussion and actually plays right into this discussion. Thanks to Ginny Robards for booking both of these interviews during the same day. Okay, we're talking with Dr. Pertesch from the Karolinska Institute of Stockholm in Sweden, who has just swung around at his desk on his chair. I can hear. We need to get you some oil for that chair, Dr. Tesch, okay? All right, so listen. So let's talk a little bit about the metabolism, energy metabolism of the muscles. Let's talk specifically about a transcriptional cofactor, PGC1-alpha. What did you see in the role of PGC1-alpha? How did it change in these two different groups?
Changed with a combined group, less with the resistance exercise group only. And that's pretty much what you expect.
I want to be clear about this. So you saw changes in the transcription of PGC1-alpha in the combined group, but not in the resistance-only trained group? I'm sorry, confusing things
correct.
Even further. Okay.
Correct.
So you said that that's what you expected to see. So is PGC1-alpha usually influenced strictly by aerobic exercise?
Correct.
Okay. So with that being said, were the effects of the combined training on this indicator of energy metabolism, would those influence muscle function?
In terms of endurance, yes, substantial increase in muscle endurance with a combined group with no or minute effect for the resistance exercise group only.
Now, I know that we talk about strength. I asked before, how does this play? Does this make the strong stronger? But this combined training style of endurance and resistance exercise, would that actually have an exponential effect instead of 1 + 1 = 2, one plus one equals six on endurance trained athletes? Can endurance trained athletes benefit from the combination of resistance training?
Not directly. It won't transfer to increased endurance only. It may benefit these athletes when they do their resistance exercise regimen.
Interesting. Okay. All right. What else did you discover in this study, or did you see anything in this study that surprised you? I know you went into this study having ideas of how this would play out, because there's been plenty of research in this area in the past. Was there anything that jumped out at you that surprised you?
Well, first of all, Carl, the old studies, the sort of classical studies in this area, some of these studies applied like training protocols which are not real life. What we were trying to do was, mimicking what athletes actually do.
Right.
Not, overloading these athletes, because then you you get in the zone when you're actually overtraining, and that's not what we like to study. We like to study real life for athletes.
Right.
This is what's going on. Using, you know, the most advanced technology like we did, muscle biopsies, MRIs, etc. So first of all, we hypothesized that if you exhaust muscles in the morning with aerobic exercise, we thought that would impact their ability to perform, first of all, resistance exercise, and we also thought that would interfere with all the signaling going on at the molecular level, resulting in less increase in muscle hypertrophy, less muscle hypertrophy if it was combined. If anything, our data suggests they actually benefited from combining, you know,
right,
these two issues.
That
was totally surprising to us. Now, you mentioned this before the commercial break. You'd like to discuss the functional impact. Surprisingly, there was no transfer to improved function. So how do we interpret this finding? This is our big question mark right now, and hopefully in a year or so we have solved, you know, this issue. Why do we see an increase in muscle size that's much larger with a combined training than or resistance training only, with no parallel increase in muscle strength, power, or function?
Well,
that's a challenge for us in the future. It may be that, you know, the function change is sort of lagging. You know, it may be that you need to take advantage of the increase in size, and, you know, it takes just longer to adapt to benefit from the increased muscle size from a function point of view.
Okay. There's some anecdotal information out there that has propagated throughout the fitness community for a long time that aerobic training and resistance training, when maximal efforts are expected in resistance training, should be separated by a minimum of 6 hours. This probably comes from a lot of the people who, for sports performance, have had to do two-a-days, where they maybe got up in the morning and they did sprint work for a while, went to class, ate a few times, then came back to the gym and did their heavy lifting later in the day. Is there any evidence, or do you have any information as it relates to maybe studies that you have reviewed or that you've also been involved with, that there is a window of time that if you stay here, you will not compromise strength as long as you separate strength and aerobic training by this number of hours? Dr. Tesh, are you there? Okay. This is perfect. We have to take a commercial break anyway. So this is the magic of radio, live radio. We're going to do this. We're going to take our commercial break now. And when we come back, we will have Dr. Pertesh back on the line with us. Obviously, the telephone lines between here and Sweden are not perfect. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Looking for performance and health benefits, turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. house. Go to WeighNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WeighNaturalUSA.com. You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N. Buy one, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today while supplies last.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. When we went into the break, we lost Dr. Tesh, but he did hear the entire question. The question that was about the window of time. Is there a maximum, minimum window of time where you can benefit from by separating your aerobic training and your strength training where it does not impair your ability for maximum efforts? What do you think, Dr. Tesh?
As you recall from the paper, with a six-hour window, from completing the aerobic exercise to performing the resistance exercise.
Right.
Right before our interview, I came back from the lab. We're currently 4 weeks into a new study where we actually have decreased that window. So right now, we have athletes or our subjects completing the aerobic exercise and, you know, just a brief recovery.
Right.
Before they do the resistance exercise. So your question is well posted. The window after or between the two sessions is probably very, very critical.
Yes. Yes, I believe so. And obviously so, finding the minimum is really where the magic is.
Yes, you're right.
So
we can kind of...
Good, I'm sorry?
Yeah. No, it'd be kind of nice if you have the same... You can score the same results by combining the two in a session rather than go to the gym twice a day.
I think it all comes down to intensity. When I say it all comes down to intensity, what I mean is it depends on what your goals are. So, for instance, if your goals are that endurance training is an adjunct to the real business at hand, which is strength training, if your focus is on strength training, then producing a maximum effort and progression in strength training is probably the most critical goal to you. And so for that person, how much time do they have to take off in between so that they don't impair their strength training is going to be the issue. For the other person who their goals are, for instance, to run farther, run faster, sprint faster, whatever, then the strength training is secondary to them. They're going to want to see how the window of time where they can train so closely together where it doesn't impair their performance in aerobic training. And so I think that the two have to be separated out, which is the goal, because I can't believe, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe intensity in both begets intensity in both. I don't know. But I have to believe, just from anecdotal information that we have amongst power lifters, for instance, or Olympic lifters, that there's a point of diminishing returns on how much cardio you can do and when you can do it when you're going into the gym for maximum lifts. What do you think about that?
I totally agree with you, Carl. And of course, we all know from past research that, and again, anecdotal data, the higher the intensity, the more recovery you need. And the other thing we certainly know anecdotally, sprint runners can't do aerobic exercise without compromising sprint ability.
Right.
As we know too, sprinters, they don't even go maximum intensity more than potentially twice a week, nothing more. They just can't in order to benefit from the high intensity and maximum intensity.
It's funny that you talk about that because last Thursday I had Adel Musa on the show. He's a contributor to the show from Munster, Germany, and we talked about the negative hormonal effects from high intensity training, which is all the rage, right? High intensity interval training, which is all the rage right now, and even plyometric training. And what it appears to be is that we can push ourselves a lot harder than our bodies would prefer. And the body's initial response, quite often, is the hormonal messengers that are sent out in response to the exercise session. And I think that looking at those tells the story of whether or not your training is productive or counterproductive into your overall goal. You have anything to say about that?
No, I agree. It's a fine line, you know. All this stuff we're talking about, intensity, how you can fine-tune your program, how you can take advantage of hormones peaking while you're adding your second workout, for example. The time course for protein synthesis after AE, how you combine that with the subsequent resistance exercise bout, but taking advantage of it rather than being a hindrance for adapting from the second resistance exercise bout. With the new technology, all the gene technology, all the molecular markers we can measure in iron muscle, this is a virgin avenue we're starting.
And it's an important one because I have a feeling that even in the case of elite athletes, that they are not in that sweet spot. And this is especially true of idiots like me, weekend warriors, who go in there and think, well, this is how elite athletes train, and I want to train hard. I think that we're going to find out that that sweet spot of progression is much less than many of us are doing in the gym. This is going to take place in some of the second hour discussion with Brian McKenzie, who has taken the CrossFit model and applied it to endurance training and has done some amazing things with it. But the body is adaptive, but finding the sweet spot where the right amount of stimulus yields the greatest progress is really where the magic lies, in my opinion.
No, I agree. If you take athletes preparing for the Olympics, over the years, we've seen athletes failing simply because they didn't find that right spot in terms of, you know, peaking. While you have athletes from year to year or over perhaps three Olympic Games, they always find the right spot in terms of balancing intensity and volume of training and peaking at the right moment. It's not just psychological, but also physiologically. It's a delicate issue to time all this.
Right, right. So the new research that you're working on right now is crowding these two disciplines closer together to try to find that sweet spot.
Yes.
Interesting. Now, would you ever reverse the order? Would you ever do resistance training in the morning and then aerobic training in the afternoon? And if so...
Yeah, of course. No, it's a good question. Of course, the people who review our research ask us this question. I think we have to appreciate, first of all, my interest is more into weight training, the adaptations to weight training. And my question is, can we do aerobic exercise without interfering with the resistance exercise responses? We can reverse the order. At the same time, you have to appreciate the time, the energy, and the effort, and the money requested for this research. If you can find the sponsors, a call for us to fund the research, I'd be more than happy to reverse the order and carry out another study.
Right. But unfortunately, and I really mean this when I say unfortunately, the interest in gaining muscle and strength seems not to have the same level of importance within the scientific orthodoxy as aerobic training does, for whatever reason. And I think that's sad, because muscle plays a larger role, no pun intended, on longevity and the mitigation of diseases as we age than our aerobic capacity ever will. Having more muscle on your skeleton will ensure that your skeleton will walk on the earth longer than lay in the ground.
I totally agree, Carl. I tell you, it took me, I'm so glad you bring up this issue. Muscle health, I think, you know, scientists and the medical community, they start to realize the importance of the muscle tissue per se. It's not there just to produce force, but its role in all the hormonal processes. Like you said, longevity, it's clear. People who don't have that bulk of muscle, they can't survive when they're challenged by disease. I think there's certainly people are, you know, start to realize the importance, and it's picking up. When I start to do research in weight training, I was very, very lonely. And back then, people were looking at what I was doing as sort of weird, you know, weight training.
Yeah, like what are you wasting your time with this nonsense, you know, and why are you doing real science?
Well, Yeah, what can I say? I agree with you, Carl. We're all pro-muscle.
Yeah. No, it's important. And I always find it humorous when I read articles written by the medical orthodoxy where they avoid the word muscle, they avoid the word lean body mass, they avoid these words not to pay any tribute to the importance of muscle. And I don't understand why they do it. You know, we have a phenomenon in the United States, and perhaps you have it there as well. We're now calling it normal weight obesity. But really what it is an inappropriate a lean to a fat body mass, which yields a person who fits into a certain size pants or dress, but they still have metabolic disorder because they don't have enough muscle on their body. And doctors are afraid to pay attention to muscle. And I don't know what it is. I think maybe it has something to do with the fact that the people who are driven to science and muscle and medicine perhaps looked at the jocks in high school, the athletes in high school, and didn't like them. And so they thought, well, I'm going to be cerebral and I'm going to forget about muscle. But you can't, because if you don't have any muscle, your brain is going to sit still in a corner and not move. So it's
I agree with you. There's something with the medical community that's sort of still kind of questioning the muscle, as you say. Not the word muscle is not used to the extent you would think.
Right.
And today, even in Sweden, Scandinavia, we're at the forefront of education in terms of physical fitness. But again, you ask most doctors for advice, they still don't get it. It's all aerobic exercise, low-intensity exercise. Build muscle, which is the only way you can burn fat by natural means.
Yeah.
And people don't get it. This is very, very basal physiology, and people don't get it.
Dr. Tesh, so as a final prescription, for those out there who the sheer effects of muscular hypertrophy are their goal, and they want to do cardiovascular training, they want to do aerobic training, but they don't want to impair their body's ability to gain cross-sectional area of muscle, it sounds to me that the prescription is do your cardio in the morning, do your weight training some hours after, and that's going to be elucidated to a greater degree in your future research, and make sure that the muscles that you want to respond favorably are also involved in the cardio or aerobic exercise procedure, whether that be upper body or certain muscle groups that are not necessarily trained when you just walk on a treadmill.
That's a very good recipe, Carl.
Okay, so we got it done. Dr. Tesh, I want to thank you very much for making time to come on the show today all the way from Stockholm, Sweden. I applaud your work, and I can't wait to hear the next results, because I want to start incorporating what you are doing there into my own routine, okay?
Okay, thank you very much, Carl. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Take care, dude. Okay, so let's do this. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to have Brian McKenzie on, and we're going to continue this discussion. We're going to talk about CrossFit endurance. Really? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Out-muscle and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com
prostatecancer.com today. Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N. Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous, and this is only available to the superhuman nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gage Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per house.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. We're going to kind of continue with this discussion since we've been talking about the combination of aerobic exercise and resistance training with my next guest, Brian McKenzie. How you doing, Brian?
Good. How you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. Brian, and for those of you who want to kind of get a head start on some of this stuff, Brian's website is CrossFitEndurance.com. Now, I think I could honestly say that no single modality of exercise has influenced more people and brought physical culture more into the mainstream than CrossFit. I mean, we have the CrossFit Games, which are televised on ESPN. We really don't see any other of the purely physical culture type mediums out there the way CrossFit. Tell me about your, how did you get started with CrossFit, first of all?
I'm pretty much your typical person who was sort of scouring the internet looking for stuff, you know, trying to find new things. Found it in about 2005, attempted it, destroyed myself, stepped back in, 1 foot in, 1 foot out, 1 foot, you know, 2 feet in, 2 feet out, and then jumped all in.
Okay, when you say you destroyed yourself, is it because the CrossFit style of training should not be taken lightly, no pun intended? A lot of people think that just because they can do it, they should do it, and there is some respect that needs to be paid to this modality of training.
Absolutely, as with anything.
Okay.
As with anything. Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I basically followed a workout that was on the, I believe it was on the main site, and you know, I was not prepared to do it, and, you know, I did it and couldn't, you know, move right for 3 or 4 days, and
right.
That's usually how everybody gets introduced to it.
Yeah. Right.
And at least early on, that was, you know, what we kind of went through, and a lot of us, but, you know, why it was, you know, it was so, you know, that wasn't the reason why it was so small back then, but, you know, it was a very, small, unique culture back then, where it was really for people who were just willing to push it really, really hard. Now it's become more, and that was never the premise of it, though.
Right.
You know, not at all. In fact, I look at CrossFit far differently now than I did then.
Well, I think if I'm going to try to analogize the way I think you look at CrossFit now, which actually, when I started to look at it this way, recently in preparation for your show, talking with my good friend Anthony Roberts, the light bulb went off in my head. And so, You're first of all, we're going to get into this a little bit deeper, but I mean, you're like one of those mad long distance runners, right? You run like hundreds of miles and stuff like that, right?
I've done that. I haven't done it in a number of years.
Right, but you have. I mean, you've tested. Yeah, you've tested your body. You've tested your mettle.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
Okay, so that basically is an exercise technology, if you will. That's a style of exercise. That is a skill set, if you will. And CrossFit is like an engine. And the analogy that I gave when I was talking to Anthony was, look, you got a 1500 horsepower engine. You drop it in a rail and it goes 4 seconds down the quarter mile. You drop it in a funny car. I mean, in a monster truck, and it climbs over school buses. The bottom line is whether you apply that 1500 horsepower to one modality or discipline or the other, you need that 1500 horsepower to accomplish the maximum possible accomplishment. So you're a guy who's used to running long distances, and all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, there's a strength component that nobody's paying attention to here.
Yeah, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I think the more, also just as important as that, is to say, you know, okay, so I've got this Camry and I just threw 1500 horsepower into it, but what's going on with that Camry at this point? And
right.
what I, you know, that 1500 horsepower is going to exploit a whole lot of stuff.
Right.
That's going on wrong.
Yes.
And that's
very true.
The chassis is going to need to be tuned up. The transmission is going to need to be tuned up.
Yes.
You know, you're going to need to look at a lot of things, and that's where CrossFit really, really opened my eyes. Now, sure, the intensity of it changed a lot of things, but it was the effectiveness of opening up those holes or those weaknesses that we had that really, really, allowed us to understand, wait a second, we got a whole other set of, you know, things we need to be working on here. So that was the real, you know, game changer for me.
Okay. And we're going to talk more. I want to let people know, listeners know, that we're actually going to talk about nutritional modalities that resulted in this paradigm shift for you a little bit later in the discussion. But right now, what I want to talk about is the genesis of CrossFit Endurance. So explain what you did. Explain how you came up with this.
As I said, I kind of ran into CrossFit in 2005. Well, I started toying with it. Prior to that, I'd been doing a lot of endurance stuff, and my background started in being a professional trainer by learning how to teach people how to run. So my background began professionally as learning running mechanics, and so I'd always held on to that and used that kind of as a little bit of my foundation of what I did. And that grew with understanding movement and a lot of other things. But with that, when I had hit CrossFit in 2005, the reason I had hit it, because I was already doing endurance sports, was because I had been introduced by Dr. Romanoff, who created Pose Method, to introducing strength training into an endurance program. And he's also, and it's not just that I'm a low mileage guy. It's just inevitably what happens is we lower mileage because people really don't, we just find that there's not a whole lot of, benefit to overdoing the aerobic training. With that said, he is a low mileage guy, a high intensity guy, but he's also a movement guy. And that's where the beginning of everything started with me, was questioning everything and saying, what do you mean I don't have to run this long or do this many, or, you know, run five times a week? And he's like, no, that's not what's going to happen. We're going to develop you. We're not going to just, you know, put you out on some, you know, linear program that's just going to progress you. You're going to actually make progress based on your ability. And we're going to, and that's how it started.
You know, and this
so
is,
I started.
I just want to inject something here. And this is really an important discussion, because as I get older, 54 now, I keep asking myself, what is the end point of my training? Is the end point of my training to push myself to the point where I can no longer train? Or is the end point of my training to push myself into that sweet spot where the amount of effort I'm putting in yields an exponential resultant?
Yeah. And you're doing this for a long time.
Right.
Versus not. You know, and that's one of the bigger returns out of this paradigm, where people really don't have that thought in mind. And there's a journalist who actually, and he's a good friend now, and he was totally anti everything we did, and because it was just totally opposite everything he understood. And I get it, and I understand it, and I see it, because I was that guy too. I was
right.
Like, no, this isn't going to work. But.
No expletives. We'll bleep that one, but we need to keep it family friendly here. Okay, good.
Sorry about that. He followed it, and he found something out. And this guy's a 239 marathoner, and
right.
He was broken. He was, he could barely get out of bed anymore. And he was just questioning everything, and now he's like, whoa, and we've kind of rebuilt him, and he's coming back, and he's running again, and he was not able to run. You know, and he's like, was that 239 marathon?
This is exciting. We have to take a break, and I'm sorry to step on you there. But the reason this is exciting is because recently I have been mentioning and talking about and pondering myself the true value of training. If your goal is to be an Olympic athlete and push your body to the nth degree to break a record, your goals are very different than the 99% of the other people out there who train because they want it to be beneficial to their physiology, make them look a certain way, but ultimately enhance the quality of health and longevity. And this is a really important discussion we're going to have with Brian McKenzie. We're going to take a quick commercial break. While we're taking the break, go to the website, CrossFitEndurance.com, and check it out. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65
certified by visiting tasciences.com. That's tasciences.com.
Buy one, get one free of either the Age Force Transdermal Essential Amino Acids Plus Tyrosine Patch or the DHEA Plus Pregnenolone Patch. Get double the patches for the same price. One delivers two well-documented, powerful anti-aging hormones, DHEA and Pregnenolone. The other delivers a powerful blend of amino acids known to enhance performance and recovery. Now you can either or both patches as a buy one, get one free offer. There's only one way to get this offer. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the H-Force banner ad today while supplies last. For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now. Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous, and this is only available to the superhuman nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gage Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Stephen Lay is the director of sales here at Superhuman Radio, and he, like I, am adhering to a standing-friendly workplace. Not only is he standing while he's working at his desk, but he just texted me and said he just did three sets of vertical jumps and pullovers with a bar. Now he's back to work. Want to live longer? Want to be stronger? Don't sit as much. Okay, we're talking with Brian McKenzie, founder of CrossFit Endurance at CrossFitEndurance.com. Before we get into how you integrated CrossFit into this whole discussion, I want to clear something up for the listeners who heard you use what I think is an acronym called POSE, P-O-S-E, for a running style. Explain that to the listeners.
Dr. Romanoff created POSE is basically a way of looking at running or movement, and he's defined it, and it's a brilliant way of defining movement, because the fact is everything we do has a beginning position and an ending position, and that's more or less the basic concept of what POSE is. It's a model I've used, but you know, more or less what I do is I look at everything. We look at everything from positions. The same way you'd look at a deadlift, the same way you'd look at a squat, is the same way you're going to look at running. Running has beginning and ending defined positions.
Right. Okay. And now, is it not
really the first guy to look at running like that?
Okay, but is it not the assertion of those who are proponents of the POSE method that number one, which this hits home for me, because I have always been a person who jogged hitting my heels but ran on the balls of my feet. Isn't part of the POSE method the way sprinters run, the way Usain Bolt runs, to land on the balls of your feet, spring off of that, kind of paw the track and lean forward into the running position?
More or less, yes.
Okay.
Running correctly would necessitate you landing on the balls of your feet. It would also have you pulling your ankle or your foot towards your hip versus lifting your leg up. It's the position you're in when you land. Landing out in anything landing in front of that forward moving body is stopping it.
Yes.
So the better you are at landing underneath your center of mass, the more efficient you are. The better position you are stabilized in. With your torso, this also helps the whole process. Yeah.
You know what's really funny, Brian? When I don't know how I'm figuring you're younger than I am, but I'm 54 years old. And when I was young, when I was in high school, track stars wore a running shoe that had not just no heel, but had a lift in the heel, so that if you were walking, you know, with heels first, your toes pointed up. And the purpose of that was to get the heel out of the way so that a track star, a sprinter, could be unencumbered to land on the balls of his foot. Now, that has been in my head since I was a kid. When I sprint, I have to actually slightly shorten the front half of my stride so that I land closer in to my body, but lengthen the back half of my stride, and I land on the balls of my feet. I can't sprint heel toe at all. Or I can't sprint. You're not running fast at all.
Yeah, no, you're not going to see anybody who sprints well sprinting heel toe. You and that goes for anybody in baseball, anybody in football. It's across the board. Anybody who runs well doesn't run heel toe.
Okay, so now let's get into the integration portion. So how does CrossFit fit into endurance?
So the progression was, we understood what I was learning was that you could introduce strength training into an endurance program, and in fact, a lot of endurance programs have attempted to do that, but they've really failed miserably at it, because what they're really doing is just a lot of body weight stabilization exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And by introducing squatting, cleaning, pressing, plyometrics, other things, and then it would evolve into introducing CrossFit, we found that we actually were the athlete. It wasn't that we were turning an athlete, and a lot of people get veered off by this, and they're like, oh, well, you're just going to put on too much muscle or too much bulk. And, well, yeah, you may put on 5 or 10 pounds, depending on male or female, but if you're training for an endurance event, you're really not going to put on that much weight. But with that said, we found that the athlete was actually holding up a lot better. Recovery times were a lot less. We needed a lot less recovery time, and the athlete was back to training at 100%, 90 to 100% right away.
Yeah.
So it was just something that was not there before, where we would go, you know, I'd go, we'd do a long effort, and it would take days to recover from these things, versus doing a somewhat of a long effort and being able to get back to it the next day and go 100%.
Now, isn't it
back to
just the way the strength camp tends to turn its nose up on endurance aerobic exercise and like to say that it impairs maximal strength production, the aerobic community likes to turn its nose up on true strength training, heavy lifts like you're talking
yeah.
about, deadlift, squats. So when you started doing this, was there anybody else out there doing what you were doing, or were people looking at you like, Brian, what are you wasting your time with this for?
Aside from Romanoff, I wasn't too familiar with too many people in the endurance community doing that, although there was probably, you know, there might have been a few, but there's actually people well before Romanoff, a guy by the name of Verkashansky who developed block training, who was actually doing this with Olympic caliber athletes. You know, so it's not that it's a totally brand new system, but it's just something that's been introduced. And yeah, we had a lot of opposition because their aerobic athletes tend to feel the same way as strength athletes. That if you introduce that, you're just going to lose on the overall aerobic capacity end. And actually, that's not the truth.
You know,
that's not what we found out.
Well, and anybody that, I mean, you don't have to be a scientist, obviously, but anybody who looks at Litvinov, who was a very, very strong Olympic lifter, and knows what the Litvi squat is. Litvinov was famous for doing front squats with, I'm talking about 500 pounds and 600 pound front squats, racking the bar and then sprinting 100 yards. So he combined these two modalities into a single workout movement and prospered as an Olympic lifter from it.
I believe Dan John was doing a lot of the same things.
Dan's been on my show. We've talked about Litvi squats. We've talked about the double eagle.
Yep.
Dragging a sled.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, you know what? It just makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't it make sense that the things that make you stronger make you stronger and faster?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, John Walborn, who has CrossFit Football, does a lot of this stuff as well. Has a very successful program.
Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I want to go a little bit longer. I have a couple more questions. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong clock on my wall here. All right, so talk about the notion of leaning forward and its importance in the sprinting / running equation for a second.
The gravity is something that everybody tosses out nobody really realizes that gravity is always something that needs to be factored into something. And the more efficient or effective you are at handling gravity's pull on you, per se, the more efficient you are as an athlete, bottom line. If we're not leaning, you're not moving. That's just it.
Right.
You're not going anywhere. You actually have to get your general center of mass over your support in the direction you're going to move. So if I'm just standing straight up and down, sure, I could push with my foot, but it really isn't until my general center of mass falls over that support that I'm actually able to move. And it's that change of support and how quickly and how much I'm actually leaning that will dictate how fast I go. So the body's, what Romanoff actually found is that there's actually, you can only, I believe it's around 18.5% lean that the human body can actually handle before it would actually either fall or you would have to put a foot out in front of you.
Right.
Granted, most of us won't even handle 5 degrees before we will put a foot out in front of us.
Right.
For that fear of actually falling.
But now, let's talk about that fear of falling, because you at one time had another website that capitalized on this notion of, I am unscared. And this is a really interesting concept. So while we understand this, the body's ability to run faster when it leans forward, we also know that putting the body into that, quote-unquote, to steal something from Justin Smith, that flinch mode, where the body leans so far forward that now it's not part of the running process. It's actually a part of the survival process to save you from falling. That when you start to get into this uncharted water, you find out that you have the ability to run so much faster than you ever thought you could.
You got it. It's only when you can push the limits of what it is that you're going to find out what, you know, that you can go past those limits.
Do you fall when you start to push this limit? Do you actually find yourself falling in order to get to the faster pace time?
Yeah, absolutely. But inevitably what happens is fatigue will kick in or fear takes over and you actually start to put on the brakes and start to use more, let's just say, muscle contraction than you're used to because of this new this whole new thing you've just discovered.
But
so how long can you keep up with that before you actually let go of that?
But how do you, the body has a governor inside of it designed to not allow you to hurt yourself. So how do you trick it? How do you do this? I mean, people are probably going to be like, no, Brian, I'm leaning as far as I can. And you're like, no, dude, you can lean farther. You know, stop being a wuss.
Well, it's not necessarily you can lean farther. It's how far are you actually going to allow yourself to lean? Because most people don't do that. Most people are so afraid of it. They're actually not even stabilizing correctly, so they're not even leaning correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking people are actually pushing their hips back and leaning with their chest forward.
Uh-huh.
They're overextended, and there's a plethora of things start to go wrong.
Compensatory. Actually compensatory by the body.
Yeah, it's absolutely a compensatory action, and it's, you know, we have to, that's where skill development and drills actually take over. And it was without a doubt that when an athlete is actually applying more skill work to the running, which is actually where, you know, our whole system starts of training is skill development. When somebody actually applies that stuff, more of that to their program versus just the high intensity or even a long distance of stuff, that they actually change more and they have the ability to go faster.
Okay. And we're going to explore that to a greater degree because you have a book that, has it come out or it's coming out, the book?
It's out.
We're going to talk about the book when we come back. We're talking with Brian McKenzie. If you want to learn more about him, please go to, I just lost the website. It's CrossFitEndurance.com. I'm sorry. I'm being a schmo today. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com. Today.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the product you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WhayNaturalUSA.com. WhayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WhayNaturalUSA is cold processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only 3 ingredients in WhayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WhayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WhayNaturalUSA.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Ficky, ficky, cow.
Welcome back. We're talking with Brian McKenzie. We're going to talk about his new book now. His website is CrossFitEndurance.com. So, why the book, Brian?
I just felt that there was a lack of information on what we did, and the best way to get that out to everybody was via a book, you know, that it was what we thought was going to be like a 1-year project. It became a 2-year project.
Yeah, everything takes longer than you think it's going to in life. Doesn't matter.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was a much needed thing that we needed.
So how does CrossFit, for those out there listening to the show that are uninitiated, how does CrossFit Endurance differ from just plain old CrossFit, right? I go to a box, I do a WOD. What do you do differently with your group?
We specialize in working with endurance athletes or more sports-specific athletes in the endurance world. So, say, take somebody like a runner or a triathlete or a swimmer or a cyclist. Our program is focused to tailor to them because we keep the sports-specific component involved in it. But the way we figured out how it worked, because it's been trial and error leading up to where it's at now. We were doing long distance. We were doing really, really short distance. We were doing medium distance. We were doing all these other things, and we were also doing strength training, just Olympic weightlifting, just other things. And it's at where it's at because of trial and error and because of testing. So we actually deal with the sports-specific endurance athlete.
Okay, so basically, a sports endurance athlete is going to benefit from applying the tenets in the book. What's the name of the book?
Power, Speed, Endurance.
Power, Speed, Endurance. And where can people get it?
Right. Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Those are the big ones. It should be, if not today, sometime this week, it should be out on digital. So
really?
You can get it on you get it on iBooks, you get it on Kindle.
Kindle.
All those. Yeah. All
yeah,
those
you can't, you can't, no. You can't produce a book and be a friend of Anthony Roberts and not have it on Kindle, because the guy devours books on Kindle. I mean, he's the only guy I've ever seen that's worn the edges of a Kindle the way you wear the pages of a book out. So anyway.
He is a walking encyclopedia.
Yeah, I know. You know what? I had a conversation with him in preparation for this interview, and I said, and when Anthony and I are on the phone together, we traverse so many different topics, right? But they're all connected somehow. And I said to him, Anthony, we should just tape our conversations. That would make a great show. So anyway.
It would.
All right. So now let's talk about something else. I mean, so obviously you're into paradigm shifts. You're looking for better ways to skin the cat. You're looking for more efficient ways to apply the effort. You're looking for the lowest possible dose with the greatest possible response. And that's why you've bridged these two technologies, CrossFit into endurance training, and came up with a better approach. But it also has influenced the way you like to look at nutrition as well, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And this is where a lot of people kind of look at you and go, you had me with the CrossFit endurance, but dude, you're talking about being an endurance athlete with a fat substrate preference? No, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, I know. I'm not liked by a lot, but some I am. Fortunately for me, I stick with what works and with what doesn't. And sometimes you don't know what doesn't work unless you try other things.
So when did you wake up one morning and say, I'm going to go for this huge run. I'm going to be completely carb depleted. I'm going to give my body time to love the ketogenic environment. And I'm going to go out there and either die or prove that you can be a fat dominated athlete.
Well, I think it began when, obviously it began when I really started to, it was late 2006, early 2007, and I continued to hear people talking about zone and paleo, and this is when paleo was, I mean, nobody really knew anything about paleo. I was like, all right, so what is this, and, you know, how could I benefit from it as an endurance athlete, seeing as I've got to replace all this glycogen, and, you know, I finally decided to test it out, and I cleaned up my diet. The bottom line is, and the easiest selling point for anybody is, all right, so all I'm talking about is quality of food. And let's just remove anything that's not of high quality. And the fact is that if you actually remove, you know, the grains, the legumes, if you remove the dairy, and then you just clean things up, you're eating the highest potency foods that you can, you inevitably wind up with some sort of a low-carb diet.
Yeah.
in that process, you know, it was a very trying process, because in the first few weeks, I mean, I would be doing 5-minute workouts where I would be bonking. I mean, I would literally hit the wall and like just go hypoglycemic. I'd inevitably need to take some sort of sugar or some sort of fruit in order to rebound. And then after about 3 or 4 weeks, my body just one day, it was like I had energy all day long.
Yeah.
And I could go out, train. I could go out for a 2-hour ride or 90-minute run, and I would just be on water versus, you know, and there's people out there who are eating high carb and can actually kind of do stuff like that. But the fact is what I started learning then was not what everybody had been selling me before. And we really started to play with this stuff. You know, we monitored glucose, we monitored ketones, we monitored all these things, and we toyed with every single diet you could possibly do. And, you know, we found out that the more fat adaptive you get, the more adapted your body gets to burning fat and using fat as its fuel, the easier it is for you to basically go. And yeah, you've got 2,000 calories of glycogen stored in your body, but you also have about 40,000 calories of fat. And the moment that you take in any sort of sugar or anything that's going to jack those insulin levels up, you've just stopped that fat burning process. But you can still fuel yourself on that, on all that sugar, but you just can't stop. And if at any moment you stop that cycle, that's where you start to hit the wall, and that's where you start to run into problems. Or you start tossing in too many different polymers or too many different carbohydrates, especially when you're competing. And we've all seen it in marathons where people are throwing up on the side of the road or an Ironman, and it's the same thing. And we just have never run into that problem with what we've found, especially with what we've done with 3Fuel.
Do you think that there is a window of time where the body finally goes, okay, this idiot is going to make me work using fat as my primary substrate. I need to stop fooling around and get with the program. Do you think it's a 2-week window? Do you have any feel for that at all? When somebody's body will adjust?
It's somewhere between 2 weeks and 4 weeks. But the fact is I've talked to people who are like, dude, I've been doing this for 4 weeks and I still feel like, it's just, hey, give it time. And, you know, the fact is, unless I see what people are actually eating, you know, not, and I'm as guilty as this as anybody, but how honest are you with your eating? If you go out and cheat one night, you've just thrown those levels off for a few days. And that's the reality of this thing. So it's how clean are you, and can you continue to be that clean and teach your body how to do things? And, you know, are you doing it right? You know, if you are going out and still training, do you have something there that's going to actually, you know, if you do bonk, can you take it? Can you take in some sort of sugar, or can you take in some sort of fuel, which is inevitably why we came up with what we did with 3Fuel, because we were actually testing stuff that had actually no carbohydrates in it. And this is where I went wrong. I literally felt that we were going to be able to do things without any carbohydrates. We were going to be able to function off of, you know, coconut fat, medium chain fats, and protein. Because, you know, the protein can inevitably be converted into glucose
as well.
Now we're finding fat can too. So, with that said, we were on the road, and it wasn't until we actually went out to about 3 hours and started doing multiple workouts that we started hitting walls. And a lot of people started hitting walls.
Well, now, we have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about 3Fuel for a minute. But I also want to talk about supplementation that perhaps influences substrate utilization as well. We're talking with Brian McKenzie. His website is CrossFitEndurance.com. The book is called Power Speed Endurance. You can get it at Amazon.com. We'll further the discussion when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Good evening, ladies. I tell you from the start, I'm hoping you enjoy my amusement park.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's
in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relaxin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Out in the street, they call it weather.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Brian McKenzie from CrossFitEndurance.com. Okay. Tell me what 3Fuel is, first of all.
3Fuel is a pre, during, post protein, carbohydrate, and fat mixture.
So why does this carbohydrate not cause a semi-permanent or even temporary a shift in the body's ability to go back to burning fat as its primary source of energy?
It's a resistant starch. It's a hydroxyprofil diester. It's a waxy maze.
Okay.
So it basically acts like a fiber. And although that sounds scary,
right,
especially if you're working out, it doesn't, you'd have to take a massive quantity of it to actually, you know, kind of flush things out. But the fact is it acts like this in the fact that it doesn't start to produce glucose for 2 to 3 hours after it's ingested.
Really? So does it digest by way of fermentation? in the intestines as opposed to in the gut?
Yes.
Like fiber does?
Yes, exactly. So, it breaks down, and as it gets converted, the medium-chain fats, so the medium-chain fats become almost an immediate.
I was just going to say, the MCTs fuel you immediately as opposed to the carbohydrates.
As soon as they touch the intestines, they're basically an immediate fuel. So you're starting to use that. You've also got a high quality, we've got a grass-fed protein in there, and then the carb starts to take over. So there's the process, and it doesn't mess with your insulin levels. So it basically, I believe it sits at a 36 on the glycemic index.
Yeah.
So there's no real response. You're going to probably get about as much a response out of like peanut butter or something, or even the whey protein for the insulin response. So.
Well, whey may actually elicit more of an insulin response.
Yeah,
it sounds like.
Yeah, you're
because of the rapid gluconeogenesis. So.
Yep. So you stay on this whole path of your body. If you're already a fat adaptive athlete, you're staying in this place where your body continues to burn the fat. Then you've still got this glucose coming in 2 to 3 hours later. If you are continuing on in an event or something where it becomes a longer duration, that is where this starts to really play a high level role. But what we found is that if you actually take the protein prior to even working out, it actually has more benefits for recovery than taking it post-workout. So this is where we would just use it prior to even some 15 or 20 minute workout, like CrossFit, we would take this supplement. And it still have large benefits post workout.
Okay, now obviously you said something about dairy a little earlier in the interview that when you were looking at your own diet. I would ask you also then, since you invoked the grass fed whey as your choice of whey protein, I applaud you for that. To also consider the fact that milk has a 36 glycemic index in and of itself. However. Not to throw all dairy into the same basket because unpasteurized milk from grass-fed, hormone-free cows actually is a pretty good thing when looking at diet in general. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, that's why we used it. I don't necessarily, and from time to time, I'll put dairy in my diet to keep on weight. But I don't typically use dairy other than the fact that I will use it with the product because there's no ills. I don't have any side effects from this.
Right.
And most people don't. We even see people who are lactose intolerant who don't have issues with the grass-fed protein.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't go down that road that the normal dairy does.
Right.
That doesn't mean that it's not dairy and that some people won't still don't have reactions, which we actually are in kind of the process of slowly introducing an egg variation of this. But to even take that, the fact is that grass-fed whey hydrolyte that we have is actually the fastest absorbing protein that you can get and the highest quality.
Yeah, hydrolyte especially, it's very, very good stuff. Okay, now let's talk about something else. Obviously, 3-Fuel is the way to go for a pre-workout or intra-workout, especially if you're a long-distance athlete, but also for, it sounds like, the resistant training athlete, too, to use it as a pre-workout because it's going to continue to fuel them after the workout as well.
Absolutely.
What about supplements that also influence substrate utilization? There's evidence out there that certain amino acids, like, I want to say, acetyl-L, carnitine, can cause the body to do things similar to the use of exogenous growth hormone in that the mitochondria seems to prefer, and it also helps infiltrate triglycerides into the cell better. Are there any supplements that would benefit somebody who is following your edicts in this book?
Certainly. My go-to answer on things like this is people should actually have blood work done to see exactly where they are deficient or where they need something. I'm not somebody who goes out and starts talking about what supplements people should take other than the fact that, hey, I needed something because I trained so much that helped me continue training via what I was doing. And that is why we developed Free Fuel. For other types of supplements, I'm just, which, you know, this is where Anthony's realm comes in.
Right.
You know, where you would really find these things like the, you know, the carnitine and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You would,
yeah.
You know, you want to supplement that stuff to help those substrates along. But fact is I have never really found anything more effective than utilizing real food.
Yeah.
And really sticking to a very, very strict regimen. With that, the introduction of using things like the Three Fuel, which everybody is now starting to catch on to, even in the CrossFit world, which, you know, is something of the past in the, you know, the regular fitness world where everybody knew about taking the protein post-workout, what other supplements they could be taking, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm really not a big fan of telling people what they, you know, all these supplements they should take.
Okay.
Other than the fact that, you know what, they should get their blood work done. They should find out what they're deficient in a fasting state, and then go from there.
Okay. Getting back to the – so let's get back to the discussion at hand as we come to the end of the interview. The discussion at hand is that paying attention to strength and adding the endurance component to your strength training ultimately has a benefit for the endurance athlete, correct?
Correct. Correct.
And that is what your book details, how someone – who is a purely endurance athlete, whether they be a sprinter or even a distance runner, because let's face it, who wins the distance race? The guy who finishes first. So obviously he's running faster than everybody else. That understanding how to integrate strength training will ultimately make you a better endurance athlete or even sprinter, right? Your book teaches them that. Are you there, Brian?
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Did you hear this? I said, so ultimately your book will take the purely endurance athlete and teach them how to use resistance training to make them a better endurance athlete, period, end of story.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. It's going to make them a better, stronger athlete. It's going to help them stay in the best position possible to get to the best position possible and lengthen that career.
Okay. Very good. And so the book is available at Amazon.com and other outlets where finer books are sold. Brian, I want to thank you so much for being on Superhuman Radio today, man.
Thanks so much, Carl. I appreciate it.
All right, take care. All right, so there you have it. I also want to thank Dr. Per Tesh from the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm for coming on the show and talking about endurance exercise and resistance training together, increase hypertrophy. But remember, you have to do endurance exercises with the body parts that you want to respond better to your hypertrophy response. So doing bench presses and heavy rowing and then walking on the treadmill is not the answer. Doing squats and walking on the treadmill maybe, or bicycling. But if you're going to try to influence hypertrophy by using these two modalities, then you're going to have to do some sort of aerobic exercise with your upper body, whatever that may be. And, of course, thanks to Brian McKenzie. The website is CrossFitEndurance.com. Check him out. We'll see tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. Thank you so much for listening today.
Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.